480 million. and then 340 million. The total is about, in the first year, we are talking about 820 million. For 2011 and 2012, the total amount also required, it will be 1.8 billion. And then for 2012 to 2030, it's 1.9 billion, which will be required for the purpose of the implementation of the also additional funding will be used as indicated by the information system. That's how they indicated how the money will be introduced, be allocated if the amount is awarded as by treasurer. For the assets replacement, I think we're already currently busy with that and upgrade, increase the current capacity and to refresh the hardware. And then with the effort, which is the procurement of the software and rollout of digital capture book, which deals with the photography part. And then the FAS, which is the reference enrollment system, which would be for the purpose of procurement of large-scale blocks. And the facial compilation and the recognition, the procurement of the solution and the hardware. And then the disaster victim identification also be used there for procurement and installation of the solution. And also be utilized for operational support, that is PISA, to look at the SLA, service level agreement, which is updated for a region by PISA, which is the maintenance, the hosting, and for decentralized services. And then the also a system of the money to utilize the field seminar and climate intelligence and the data throughput of the system. Critical requirements of the proposal is actually the first part of the division, which is a very critical area that we need to focus on, which is the taking and the storage of the fingerprints and the body print, which is the first part of the bed. And then the responsibility we see it falls under the principal policy division, and it also includes division detective service and directorate for fraud crime investigation. It also includes our own division, criminal record and forensic services. And for detection and identification of fingerprints, for crime processing team, all that, and for fingerprint identification, that responsibility is our division. And for photograph, which is also part of our responsibility, photograph of all our assets taken, the responsibility lies on all the divisions. And for the storage and the maintenance, management of the photograph, it is the responsibility of the of our division in terms of the bill. But currently, this ISM is actually responsible for the process. So therefore, we sort of indicated that we need there needs to be an interaction between us and ISM so that we must to enhance the functional capacity of the system. The integration of the databases, talking about the system compatibility and the integration. That is those departments of police are responsible, our offense and correctional services, and Department of Transport. This is a presumption that we make because I think this presumption is made based on the history that we have. That's why we said for a number of years we have followed the history. That's why we include this presumption on the protection of. During 2008-2009, approximately 2.1 million cases registered, and it would be we presume that it will stabilize over at the next at the 5 years, at the next 5 years, at year five. And the objective, our objective actually, is to attend to 700,000 crime scenes at year five. And then the an average of 1.2 million tests of criminal fingerprints, that is SAT 36s, are processed per annum, of which we presume 40% may be a repeat offender. minimum of 1 million suspect fingerprints is also processed per annum, and all arrested persons should be are supposed to be photographed, and personnel to be appointed, and that is to increase the capacity, and the current and the future expenditure is to be provided for in the medium and long term budget process. And then a carrying through cost to be provided for, that is for the maintenance and the other that I've referred to, and subdivision training needs to provide facilities and support training. I'm saying it's very critical. Even if our personnel are going to be employed, if division training is not going to prioritize our division in terms of training, it will be difficult for us to implement the best for the outcome. Or it may delay the implementation. The criminal record center, that is the SE situation as it is now. We just want to give an indication what is the SE now. That is the 348 crime scenes are attended by the local criminal record center. That is 91 LCRCs of the country. Of this, about 19,021 persons have been identified on crime scenes of Singapore. And then 21 crime scenes where forensic exhibits were collected and sent to the forensic lab. And 1.1 criminal handprints were searches were performed. And 1 million non-criminal handprints searches were performed, that is commission searches. Local criminal record center has stayed at the for the day 2009. 91 LCR team, we are rendering a service to 1116 police stations. And then the 61, from the 91 LCRC country, we have the 69 fingerprint laboratory. I think the reason why we have established the laboratory is to increase accuracy with the results. That's more of our fingerprints examiners. They go to crime scene and they will collect more evidence from the crime scene. I think the trend now, before we used to use more powder, but now the trend is used more chemical to retrieve latent prints from the evidence. That's the reason why we introduced this 97 fingerprints there. And 87 fully qualified crime scene experts. That's the people who are really qualified who are attending crime scene. That's the number. Although there's still a number which is still under training. 1,246 crime scene expert training. People who are still under training. What I'm saying, as indicated, training is very critical for us as a backlog in terms of training. And then 1,460 trained civilian personnel. Some of the people, I think, with the current now, I do not think we have a lot of vacancies, but still some of the, I think, 99, almost 90% of our vacancies were filled with civilians for crime personnel for capturing of the data into the system. And then 176 civilian personnel are still under training, and 82 operational vacancies they needed. So I think tomorrow, serious question, because we're talking about the 700,000 crime scenes. As a backlog, the SS was implemented in November 2002. Now the presently what is outstanding on the SS database is 65.37 criminal fingerprint searches, which is still outstanding, and 124.258 non-criminal searches, that is the firearm searches, that is the police clearance. And 10 fingerprint searches. It also includes other applications like the CDPs and other applications. The current active search capacity per day is about 5,000 on TP, on criminal searches, on the criminal nature, and then on the non-criminal nature, it's about 3,150. That is a daily throughput. Upgrade to address the current work in areas will increase the effort capacity. That is, the criminal and non-criminal nature is to be combined in a single lecture. And just increase from, we'll be moving from, if you add the 5,000 by 3,000, now we are currently on 8,000 capacity. Such capacity, not such capacity now. But we'll be moving because we'll be adding more 3,000 to the current capacity will come to our capacity will now be 12,000 from 10 fingerprint searches per day. That is now we are busy with the current one. If we have 3,000, then we'll go to 12,000, 10 fingerprint searches per day. This is actually the capital local criminal records central function. But they is also responsible for crime scene processing of evidence and photography of the photographic section of photo, the videographing of the scene, for photographs and processing crime scene, and also responsible for plan drawing capability for the reconstruction of crime scene. They are also responsible for the collection of exhibits and process the exhibits in our own land. And some of this needs also to be forwarded to the crime scene, which does not really follow in the language. And then the criminal information system capability, where the criminal information of persons that have been captured for future court and criminal investigation purposes. And ethics capability for electronic searching of crime fingerprints and crime scene prints for identification of persons. And also the other functions, spatial identification capability, where operators compile drawing of persons from the information provided by crime scene victims or witnesses. And then the other is the LPR diagnostic system, where it's very related to the admin part of the LPR. The system available to support the proposed trend. The CRIM, which we call CRIM system, we call it Criminal Information System. For the bill, I think we have for it to be implemented, the CRIM system manage the criminal information of activity and the sentences. And this is the definition what it stands for. And manages by the criminal records that is responsibility, and also indicates the availability of fingerprints on assets. Because ethics is only a search engine. If for it to get more information, you need there needs to be a communication to the CRIM database for it to produce a profile about a particular person. And then it also manages, we also manage the wanted person indicator method and also indicates the availability of photos of persons. Then automated fingerprint ethics. It's a forensic fingerprint identification system. It manages the fingerprint images according to the person's role. And images of all 10 fingers and 2 palms, when available, are stored for identification purposes. The National Photo Image System, which is now currently falls under the responsibility of ISM, is an electronic system that stores the photographic image of persons and objects in the criminal environment, and it's managed by ISM Identification Services, and MPIR is not yet fully operational. It's selectively decentralized. The main obstacle is the network capacity. And the jury system, this is actually the system that we want at the later stage to be decentralized for all the LPRs. The reason is to introduce paperless development. Within the Julius is an image capture system utilized to capture the source document electronically. And I say it's also managed by the CRC. And then it's still in control, it's still under development. And once it is fully operational, then it should be implemented to all 91 CRC. This is an expected management system. Starts in the process to find a solution on this. The engine LPRC needs to be ensure exhibit integrity. That is very important in our environment because we need to look at the contamination of evidence. We need to protect contamination of evidence from privacy. That's why we think the exhibit management is very critical for our own environment and the environment. And to be used to record and to control and to manage the evidence. implementation of the proposal is that is the responsibility of Adivision is to, as I've already alluded to it, to take and storage of fingerprints and the body prints. And the we're saying then to review that the following section needs to review policies at all initial instruction. If you look at the from the proposal, that is the responsibility to review all the policies. And the evidence upgrade is our division, plus ISM. And the body print is also our division and ISM. But since currently there is no system in class, there is no library to look at this thing, now the tailor-made specification needs to be developed. It needs to be researched, because currently we do not have anything. On our current system, we got some data and some information which is based on tattoos, but it's only an information which is not really utilized by the investigation officer. Implementation, the office upgrade, that's what we supposing, the number of persons is playing the present. The reason why we want to add more than 20 instructions to our database is to increase the accuracy in the ethics system. That's what I'm saying for 2010 to 2011, we'll move to 3.2 million, and the following year, we'll move from 3.2 to 7.2 million, and then for 2010, 2012 to 2013, we'll move to 11.2 million. And the number of persons is found. That is 3 million to 4 million, and from 4 million to 8.5 for the year, and the third year is 8.2 to 12 million. Our soft crime scene fingerprint database is from 1.2 million to 2 million, and then from 2 million to 2.5, and the third year to 4 million. And our soft color crime scene database is about 3 million to or to what we increase to 1 million. And then to 1.5, and then to 2.5, to 4 million in the third year. And the measures, 10 fingerprints, to 10 fingerprints that is CP to CP, in 2010 to 2011, one to move to 10 million. And then for 2011, we look to the 16 million, and in the 10th year we want to move to 20 million. And then these are the top and currency, as well, we want to 10 million, to move to 10 million in the 10th year, and then the second year we want to move to 16 million, and then the 10th year we want to move to 20 million. And the last, which is we can talk about the very question that we want to add to the database, we'll move from 3.2 million to 2011, and then to 7.2 million, and to 11.2 million. And the Palam, that's what we're saying there, and include also the outdoor crime scene fingerprints. That's all the indication we're saying we want to work with for the implementation of the proposed plan. The next slide is very professional. That is the system. Handling of extension. Staying now is so we have to 2010 because we have added more capacity of 3,000. Will be for 2009, then we'll be moving, 12,000, and I want to move to 16,000. That is the test capacity. And from 16,000, and then the second year, we'll have to move to 20,000, and then the third year, we'll have to move to 24,000. And crime scene Singapore extension. Currently, we move to 1.9 to 2.3, and then to 3,000, and then the third year to 2.5. And then currently, in Palamprint, it's not to anticipate as well. We want to move to 550 to 1 million, and 1 million to 1.5, but on the third year, we'll have to review. To review whether it is really necessary for us to increase the capacity. And then, 10 fingerprints for a soft crime section, we want to move in the first year to 5,000, 5,000, yes, sorry, And then 7,000 on the second year. So, and then the once to move to the 10,000. Palamprim, from 12,000 to 400, want to move to 800, and then to 2,000. And then ethnic decentralization, for 2010 to 2011, the maintaining existing infrastructure for 2010, to see if we can continue that. And then we want to move from 2011 to 2012. We want to, because currently the ethnic has got 35 clusters throughout the country, we want to move to 57 offices. And the 57 offices to 85. All as one office is dependent on the CRIM decentralization. Because we cannot really decentralize ethics if CRIM is not going to be decentralized. It depends on CRIM for ethics to be decentralized. The ethics upgrade budget, that's what we are talking about for capacity extension, is 242 million. In the first year, I mean, let me just talk about maybe to the total. We need about 255 million in the first year, and the second year, the total will be 172. That is only the projection, million, and then the third year, and then 184 million, and then fourth year, 163, and then presume that it will sort of stabilize. Then maybe that the 68 is for the management. The last one. That's why the reason why it's less amount is for purpose of maintenance. The last year. The detection, that is identification of fingerprints, is to attend to all countries that are indicated, is also to increase the fingerprint identification of crime solving, and also to improve the quality of crime processing, and also to increase the capacity of the LCRC. The forecasted possible LCRC crisis to the president. The thing is, we projected about crisis to the president about 62% in 2009-2010. And then we also say that the second 2010-11, we are projecting about 32%. And then the 84% the third year, 89% the fourth year. 94% the fifth year, and then the, I think it's the last part, 2015, which is 95%. Additional personnel will be required to implement the best. The additional crime investigator, we need in the 2010, we need about 402. And then the following year, we need about 600. Capacity, and then we need about 500 again and more, and then to 700 and 800. I mean, the reason why we are saying there is because we are saying we want to attend to 700,000 more kids. That's the reason we need to add more bodies to the LPR. Additional administrative personnel for the CRIM, we need them 220, first year, second year, 44, 52, and 340. 431 and 440. The training of police personnel. The newly appointed crime scene investigator. It's about 40,000 per person or 10 years. I think the reason is that most of the time we are using guest houses. There is no training facility. And most of the money is spent on the accommodation. That's what we estimate for the number of those crime experts. We need that. That will be the whole amount that will be necessary to still with us. And for the second year, for 600 of those members, we need about 26 million. And 28 million. And for the 900, we need about 36 million. And for the current crime scene investigators to be refreshed on the current process, and new crime scene procedure is 8,400 per person for 2 weeks, for them to be refreshed. set up a limit to about the most of the budget is spent on the accommodation, but that is the cost. That is the figures that are indicated that will be needed to change all this stuff in the forest to be in the church. Okay. Training Public Service Act, that is the PSA Act, personnel. Newly appointed PSA personnel, 30,000 per person for 6 weeks. That is currently the amount we spent, and those are the figures that we say will be needed to, we are projecting that will be needed to train our own people. And then the current PSA personnel related also to be refreshed. Also, it needs about this total amount. That's what you can see on the slide. The implementation of a Fourth Amendment then, the training profile, that's what we need to train our people on. Training for crime scene investigators, they will be trained on the fingerprints course, and then the viral crime scene course, the photography, the blood drawing. For the rapid training program for the LPRC, that is all from the FSL training to be provided by FSL for the, especially for crime scene processing, for the collection of the evidence, to collect more evidence into the LPRC, and to do proper processing of the crime. And then, this one we needed for the panel that needs to be education panel, to take it as a confirm member. An expert, and then we also need the ethics expert course. Training for civilian personnel, this is the process. They will need a trim system course. They will also need a circulation water system course. They will also need ethics operations course. Additional accommodation needed for the personnel and the storage. We've calculated this at an average of 70 rands per square meter per person, and 150 square meter per LCMC, and 8 square meter per new person, which is 1,000 square meter for CRC archive. That is the main building. The cost for that, that is projected, is about 16 million, and the following year is about to move to 19 million, and the 30th. It moved to 17 million, and the 2014, 19 million, and 2015, 21 million. New local criminal record center to be established to enhance service delivery. Currently, we are looking at the cost of the about one to establish those numbers in 2011. These are some of the new LCMC that we want to establish. Probably we are looking at the California and Flagstaff in the Eastern Cape to extend the services there. That is the cost of the new LCRC, the 11 million. That is that if you want to do that every 2 years, we want to add this every year. Every year we want to add that. Okay, the new service point. The new service point, this one is the new service point. We actually want to look at the three every year, but I think we'll determine our priority. But I think Houten will receive more of the service point. That's because it's more kind. But the workload will determine where we'll place service point. The new LPRC fingerprint laboratory, the static fingerprint laboratory, we want to receive to 6, and then the second year to 6, and then the mobile fingerprint laboratory that I've talked about, we want to increase to 6, which will spread that amount. See, one cost about 6 of them, or cost about, I think, 15 million. The cost for this fingerprint laboratory includes the standard layout and refurbishment of the building. And also include fingerprint laboratory can either be static or mobile. Or a mobile fingerprint lab is in an effort similar to the static laboratory, but can be deployed to see that crime scene. for fingerprint exam processing on the site and maintenance of the additional fingerprint attachment. What's going to happen is with the mobile app, you all the technology is included in the car. It's just like the static fingerprint jack, which is there. All the equipment is in there. You can just move from one scene to another. It will be proper. They are very expensive, I know, but it's one of the options that we got. The finisher of the new Android, that's what we are looking at, a cost of 3.7. And then for 2020, 6.6. And then 2030, that is 5. And then the last year, 2016, is about 8. I'll just be fingerprint equipment and digital camera for new country investigators, equipment and investigators. It's costing about 12,400. If this person needs to do his job, he must be given a suitcase with all powder, chemicals, and digital cannon. It will cost all that amount. That's what we're intending to do. And also the additional specialized camera, the 360 sensor camera. That's what we intended to do for senior crime. That's what we're saying we want for, because one is cost about 950,000 per camera. But they differ. The others are more expensive than what is done. But I think the cost is about 1.2 or cost about 1.9. That's what we're intending to procure for this following year. Additional computer equipment, because we have been added more civilians to the LCMC, the mainframe computer and the printer combination, as that's the figure we got from ISM, 11,200 per person. That is the cost for all the computers for all the new employees. And then additional equipment for juries as well, and to be a one-stop installation project. We'll be needing two scanners, one flow server, a LCRC, and 20 scanners for CRC, for the main building, and we need 40, then it is cost about a scanner. It's 14,000 per scanner and 14,000 per server. With that amount, it will cost about the two of them. The cost will cost about that amount. Operational vehicles needed. The cost is for the operational vehicles, for special crafting vehicles, for administrative vehicles. We need, that is the cost that will be needed, 2.9 million. That will be needed for the first year. These are the figures for the 59 for the second year and all the until the 10th year. And the operational vehicles are needed to attend to more countries, and specialized transit vehicles will be utilized to attend to serious countries, and they are specially equipped to advanced countries, already said that, and that respective vehicles to be utilized in the administration of the LPR for Christmas tonight. The operational expenditure, the average per case investigated presently, that's what it costs, is 105. That is the amount, and disposable protective clothing and shield requirements is 50 per person. We need that to prevent contamination at the crime scene. People who went to crime scene are supposed to wear this disposable protective clothing. And then the petrol to attend to crime scene, 70 kilometers per case, will cost about 2 rand. 2 rand per day. They are running kilometers travel. That is will be the cost, the total cost for that. I think the call that the gentleman said is according to time 35. Yes. And then other system software upgrades will be needed. We need about for the film. That's what we have said. We can only centralize Epic if film is not developed there. That will be the amount that will be needed. And we'll also use Judith. It's more budget allocation. ISM Enterprise License. And then the body print, not budgeted for. it is expected that a business consultant will be appointed on the subsequent business that will be planned to assist in the combination or the functional design. The reason we are saying that is because we are saying it's a new thing to start. We do not have anything currently. And this is a budget summary of all the other slides. We are trying to summarize everything and just to give us the protection to say to summarize all everything as it's like to deny. Okay? These are the big total. 497 million, 527 million, and then 682 million, 648 million, and 599 million for 2015. Then we are seeing there's a risk in the implementation of the bill. In that we are saying because the really needs to be, because it's a sort of different stakeholder involved in the whole process. There needs to be a platform for us to engage all other government departments like transport. Already we've already engaged them on the industry to see what is the capability. And then we see as well the network capacity. If the network capacity is not addressed, we don't see how it's going to cause a delay. So therefore, I know, according to ISF, the budget has already been allocated for network capacity. But it depends on whether Telkom is going to come on board on this. We're talking about the budget allocation, as we are saying, there was initial indication by Treasury, how the money will be allocated, but this budget needs to be awarded. And then interdepartmental delay, as you say, the CETA. CETA said different departments. It will depend how they would prioritize the staff. That's what we are seeing, that's the risk that we are seeing in terms of the bill. Available fingerprint database. As you're saying, it's SAP's EPIC, it's HANA, it's PNAT, and correctional services. The characteristic and acquisition database is the view of accessing the data for kind software purposes. This is the SAP, the capability of SAP EPIC. This is the all capability of the Department of Police. It's 6.4 million sets of fingerprints. And then 850,000 tests is pumped, and a raw impression of all 10 fingerprints, and both pumps are tested, including a RISA pump, that is the capability of the assets, capable of taking a single fingerprint and section of the pump. That is from the 1 to 3 for the crime scene. Then we use also filter criteria to decrease the number of cases on the list. The filter criteria like the fingerprint, that's what we use. We look at the pathological information, like the pattern. What we see when we look at the pattern, we look at the whether it's an arch or a wire, whether it is the left finger, the ring finger. That's all what the capability system is able to do. And we also can perform a cold search with no filter criteria possible. And current fingerprint, such as possible, all fingerprints and palmprints. And the HANA, this is the capability of HANA, because we have engaged them on this matter. We wanted to hear from the idea what they suggest about the bill. The 3.5 million, that's what the current database. The 10 fingers, that's what they are doing. 10 fingers are cut, and 2 thumbs are stored in the merchant repository, and the 2 index fingers are used as backup in the merchant repository. And they also use sampling for searching purposes in combination with the identification number to determine identity. That's the filter criteria that they use. They are using many filter criteria, that they're the identification number, the base of fat and all those other things. That's what they use. They don't use the fingerprint scanner like the metric. The no limited concept capabilities, that's what they've indicated to us. They've got the capacity to search 30,000 transactions per day if it's for latent searches. That's what they are putting. And no kind of fingerprint search capability, or they're saying that it's not available. We haven't engaged with them, but apparently I understand there was a meeting between them and the ISS. We need to confirm it, that's how we see the system, but we really decided first as well, as Chair indicated, we've seen there is also actually a need to look at the harness, not really at the e-nurses. But we're saying that's what the system, but we're saying that in terms of this, the e-nurses can be used for a purpose of wanted, to flag wanted persons on that system. This is the options, possible options that we suggesting for the interface. Option one, Department of Home Affairs will have interface to such assets, and Home Affairs will have to provide the standard for the interface, and Home Affairs will have to provide the message protocol and compilation, and then they will have to provide the search capacity, the crime screen, one to many. And all fingerprint data to be available in the medical repository. And they'll have to not more than 1,000 searches per day for 1 year after the upgrade of ARM. And then from year two, searches to exponentially increase as staff capacity increase. Search results to be provided to staff for validation. Fingerprint data and the reference number to be displayed. And candidate list to comprise of 50 persons. I think the reason is that when we started implementing the ethics, we looked at the candidates of 100 because we're not really sure about the accuracy. And then I think now currently we're standing on 50 candidates. That is our the search criteria. The inclusion of the palanquins because the need, this decision needs to be decided because we need for us palanquins that are listed from the currency are very significant because it's easy for us as a policy to look at a portion of the palm to accurately identify a victim of a crime. That's why we are saying this, if really they need to go to option one, we need farm to be part of it. Either they can edit, they can either do it and hand it over to staff to continue the process. Here, option one, for staff. Staff will provide for interface requirements and will provide for separate workflows, and staff will resign internal process roles, and staff also provide additional workstation at school time, and staff as well will set standards for crime scene to be searched. And we have provided also stable network links to others via Twitter and personal infrastructure to perform validation. We'll provide this. And we'll provide centralized links to acquire particulars from minors or identified persons. And the memorandum of understanding regarding the quality of stored fingerprints needs to be entered into. We need to agree. What do you expect from staff? The quality of the fingerprints that we're going to have. Okay? If you look at the benefits of option one, we'll be able to access the national fingerprint data to improve on privacy fingerprint identification. There will be no synchronization between system required. Data ownership will not become an issue. And then no influence on HANA personnel. And staff will perform the validation because we've got expertise, and the validation will not change HANA's data, and HANA can structure the search request. These are some of the challenges that we foresee in terms of option one. No control over the fingerprint database quality, and it's a very costly exercise, very expensive. no such control over accuracy of such algorithm, the network capacity, and the CPM cost. This is estimated cost, which has to be incurred on option one by, that's what the figures that they've indicated to us when we went with this evaluation. That's what the figures, the 100 million. For the estimated cost to be incurred by the Department of Staff on option one, it will be less. It's about 20 million. And if you go on, it will not increase the every year. Yeah. Option two, Department of Home Affairs requirement. Harness to provide all fingerprint data to staff in the next moment. This is an Interpol communication protocol that's used all over the world. If you want to send a next file, you send either on our iPhone. Any other Interpol country that you reference, they have to send that latent impression on the next moment for us in order to take it into our APIS database. Then Harness will have to provide a real-time update interface to that asset, and a regular synchronization between the two systems will have to take place. And option two, the concept requirement, will have to provide the capacity to accept 55 million sets of fingerprints and maintain and separate forensic criminal and forensic civilian database, will have to provide for real-time update interface architecture, and will have to provide for new records in safer manner, and then we'll provide for additional active support. These, I think according to us, we'll come to this, really the option two is not really recommended, according to us. Because we'll be duplicating the data link, which is not really, will not be cost effective. Okay. This is the benefit of option two. Access to the national database to choose, I've already done this. The estimated cost interface for option two, this will be less now the cost for home effect, but if the on option two for that, it will now the cost will increase. Now, the action stand for the data-based integration. Now, we're saying a decision needs to be taken between whether option one or two. And then, the amendment of the current legislation, which is the responsibility of police, Home Affairs, and justice. We have to look at determine the business requirements, which does do department are responsible for that, police and Home Affairs. We have to compile procedures and process flows, police and home affairs. We have to compile technical specifications, police and home affairs. And we have to request a consolidated budget for the implementation of the bill. That is the Justice Department and tender preparation and publication, and the winding of the tender and appointment of a vendor. That is the Justice Department. Again, I'm going to be the partner because we're going to talk about it in other slides. The possible approaches for the interface with the Department of Correctional Services. Staff, you're not aware of the National Fingerprint Database at Correctional Services. The possibly we will have that implemented inmate tracking system, which is not really integrated database. Which is each correctional facility has brought its own inmate tracking. And then staff request to participate in the national system based on fingerprint which is to be developed. Multiple projects, option one and two are medium term solutions, and option one is recommended, as I've already said, as an interim to progress to the ideal situation, which is a single system with one database for government and prefer single registration event with updates and match capabilities. A department will manage their own ALCA data and the registration details. They will determine their own requirements. And also, they determine their own common identifiers, so it's just in their own database. Final has well received the way forward. We'll see final decision on approval of the bill and the review of the implementation plan. That's the end. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Hello. We will take questions from members. And taking an office of fact that this is a draft implementation.
Yes.
Probably because they to know the implication of this implementation.
Yes.
Just to tell you some options.
Yes.
For this department, for sure, not for us.
Thanks to Chairperson. Thanks for the presentation. I'm a bit more confused. I must be honest, I'm not really clear. Because if I could all recall correctly, recently, I think we were told by FAFSA, one of our meetings, that when I look at this document, I've got so many questions. And in fact, it doesn't seem like that anymore. I really want to ask, are they actually? I think they need to be honest with that. I'm not going to illustrate, are they really doing this? But I mean, there's some really strange things in this presentation. I would have thought by now that they would have indeed had discussions with the Department of Correctional Services. I don't know, maybe I could be a bit cynical now to say that a phone call. Surely it's a matter of meeting with the Department of Correctional Services, but in the document here at the end, that they don't know, because it's the fingerprint documents. Even Transmit they haven't spoken to. So that clearly tells me they're not ready. I mean, with all of this planning, surely they should have spoken to me. I don't think you can tell us. What are they doing? Have they spoken to them? I mean, just to give you a couple of other examples, on the training, for instance, I've got a lot of questions around financial issues. When it comes to training, they're talking about quite significant amounts of money in jet pilots. That's good. Helps the tourist industry and jet pilot industry, I'm sure. But perhaps they could explain to us, where do they train these people? Don't we have our own training facilities at SABS? Don't we have training colleges? Can we not use those facilities? What is the reason? Maybe there are some real reasons. You know, it'd be helpful to know. My house is available. Then I look at their budgeting, and they talk about what they've done here is they give you an amount and they say that the computers will cost X amount. And it's the same amount all the way to 2015.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me, because just in normal basic budgeting, you take into account the increase in cost, inflation, etc. And they haven't done that. I actually did use my travel test and I worked out some of the costs over that period, and they haven't taken into account any increases. So I'd like to know where that comes from. I'm trying to look it up. Those are some of the questions I'd like to ask, but you know, my real question is, are they really ready? They're talking about a total amount that they're needing of something around 5 billion rand. And in the presentation, on page 14 actually, they tell us what at the end of the day, what the additional number of searches are going to be, going to increase to about 12,000 10 fingerprint searches per day. Current capacity, if I read this correctly, is close to about 9,000, if I read it correctly. Maybe I'm reading it wrongly, but if it's correct, that's a hell of a lot of money for just an additional 3,000 searches per day. Can they give us some clarity on that and explain that to us? My final comment would be, last week, the Minister of Finance was interviewed on SAFM after the medium-term budget policy statement. And he spoke about the need to watch how we spend our money. Now, I want to raise something here because he specifically mentioned Peter and the fact that you can go to a shop and you pay 10,000 rand for a laptop. But when people tender to government, you pay 15,000 for the laptop. I want to ask, and I want to ask a serious question on this one, these amounts that we're talking about, equipment and so on, are we certain that these are the true amounts? Are we certain that we don't have people who are trying to tender and to make profits out of government programs? I would really like to ask that question, and it's based on a comment of the Minister of Finance last week on SAFM.
Thank you. I think the Honourable Member has pretty much hit the nail on the head in relation to the exasperation being felt right now by the Members of the Portfolio Committee. He's covered it a great deal. Let me add to your woes here. I'd like to know today what your current turnaround time is from the arrival of the fingerprint to the identification thereof and the return of that information to the relevant detective. And then I was very concerned on page 41. It's the shortest page. It has 9 words on it, and it's about the risk of suddenly having the ability to put your hands on anybody's fingerprints in the country. And these are, and I referred briefly to it when you were not with us yesterday, you're now seeing people who have spent their lives keeping their fingerprints out of the police hands, and suddenly they have access. And so I think the risk increased exponentially, and you have not presumably considered that at all. You have suggested 2 options. And for my own, just to clarify here, and I think our initial idea was along the lines of the SAFCON identified prints in their own database, they may enter and search the other available database. Home Affairs, Transport, I agree with the argument that how you can come here and say you don't know if Correctional Affairs has a database is beyond me. But then again, that is Correctional Services, so maybe they don't know either. But I find it extraordinary that you're not all talking. I mean, we've all known about this proposal for some time. So that to me would be mean no synchronization of the various systems required. It's clean meat and it requires nothing extra. Nothing. Step 2, the creation of a national database. It 200 million is a basic expenditure, a lot more than the initial suggestion, which you're saying is going to cost at least 160-170 million. Now, what I have to find out is this estimated expenditure suddenly including extra staffing, accommodation, vehicles? How is it you're presuming that by allowing access to the other data banks for purposes of fingerprint identification, you'll suddenly need new offices, new cars, new staff, new laboratories? I'm absolutely in a fog about this. I can't work it out, and I don't know where it's come from. You referred to there are only 2 options, 1 and 2. We've yet to determine whether there's a possibility of option 3, 4, or 5. And yet after this enormous expenditure, you say these are both just medium-term options. Are you actually telling us that after this enormous expenditure, this is not even a long-term development? I find that in the light of what the finance minister said the other day, quite an extraordinary plan. I really feel that on page 40, you're looking at your full departmental budget. I don't know why we're looking at it or why you're raising this at all in relation to this bill we're supposed to be going through today. I'm very confused by the whole issue. Thank you.
And mine was covered by Honourable Freeman on the training, the 50,000 on the training, and the 11,200 for the PSS. My first question would be now to A, what is the unsolved crime team and the unsolved training that we mentioned can play?
Thanks, Jefferson. I want to start with a question that was raised by another issue about this 40,000 in the case of crimes being investigated. Besides the fact that there are facilities and training facilities that belong to staff, the question was, why are these facilities not used? Now, if we can, the answer could be that they are being utilized. Now, looking at the amount of money that is spent, have they compared the expenditure of this money on guest houses compared to if they buy buildings of their own people? Or if they build? Because this is a lot of money. There must be other options. I want to know whether they've compared how much would be best for the department if they either buy an existing building or build their own facility. And the second one, on these specialized cameras, I mean, one camera almost $1 million, $950,000. Is this the best price available, or does it include a markup? And I also want to know about this camera. What can this camera do that digital cameras can do? $950,000. Is it carried manually? And the safety of this $1 million thing, in the light of the many guns that have been disappearing from the police, how secure will this be? And the third question on this unsolved crime scene fingerprint database. Looking at page 20, the number of these unsolved crime scene fingerprints on the database increases every year. I have to know if there is further training, people are getting skilled, people are getting the best equipment to fight crime. Why are the number of fingerprints of crimes that are not solved increasing? Because I would expect that with so much expenditure that they would have a vision of reducing in the number of crimes that are unsolved. So how do you justify such a huge budget when you do not foresee the time of reducing the unresolved crime? Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is only one question. Will the presenter tell us, can they implement this bill or not? That's the bottom line. All these other questions, maybe they will become secondary. If tomorrow the bill is passed, can they implement it? Simple and straightforward. Because if you look at this document, This is just a big hunt. We don't have this money. We can't have this money tomorrow. But now, that is why my question is only one question. All these other questions there then can link up to this main question. Thank you.
I have a serious concern about the fact that a year and a half later we're still being presented by two options. And the one option, referring to Howard, is the option that seems to be the favorite option by the department. Because which I cost for home affairs. It's almost as if the cost burden has been shifted to some extent to home affairs. Now, from the presentation you've had for home affairs yesterday, I didn't think until home affairs was aware that they're going to have suddenly these costs. And I then also got a big question in my mind about the consultation that did take place between home affairs and such regarding this issue. So I would like to have clarity on that issue. The second issue is that, yes, I wish I could say that I was actually hoping that after we had this presentation today, we would all have been very positive that we can pass this legislation and everything is ready, etc. We can just start, because as the Honourable Chairman said a few weeks ago, we were told that we can implement it tomorrow, just pass the legislation. At the rate of concern in my mind about what was such involvement in the drafting of the legislation. Or are we yet again experiencing a situation that we've experienced before with INSAS, where they work in silos? So legal services were involved. Maybe. I don't know. Legal services were involved. But did they involve training? Did they involve forensics? Did they involve technical guys, that they involve the guest houses, and that they involve the because it seems yet again we are confronted with a situation where legislation has been drafted, but those that it impacts upon and those that must implement are being confronted with a final piece without the consultation. Because I think if they were actually consulted throughout the process, we wouldn't have two options. And maybe even a third or a fourth, as has been said. Oh, I'm also raising this because of the fact that if you look at the from the time of ACES was introduced in 2002, I think you said. We're now in 2009. 7 years later, there's still a 60,000 plus backlog. Now, what are we doing? I don't know. The other question that I have is currently, they say that they deal with more than 1.1 million fingerprints per year, and then another 1 million on commercial basis. That's banks and security industry, etc., are people need. But if you look at what they say and their presumptions, they then presume that with the new system they will be able to deal with more than 1 million fingerprints a year. From 2.1 million to 1 million. And we must think this only why. For a last question from my side, is more directed to the state law advisors and maybe even the Department of Justice. This bill, how does the access to personal information legislation that is currently before the Justice Committee impact on this bill? And vice versa. Because the fact of the matter is the access to personal information bill deals with access of databases. And I'm not sure that this actually speaks to that. And I won't be surprised if there is actually a complete clash between the two pieces of legislation in regard to the access of databases. So can I just say, I understand and I welcome the information that was given to us in terms of the forensic development, because I think that's what you did partly as well. You did not only focus the ball, you talked about what is needed in the future to get to a full capacity of forensics. And of course, we keep on hammering over the head about the incapacity of staff to deal with forensics. So the buildings and the personnel and the vehicles and everything, I welcome that input. I think it's misplaced for this piece of legislation. That's not really the key information that we needed, but it's welcome because it gives us an idea where they want to go to. However, I need to share my honourable colleague's concern, unless we can get you guys in the Department of Finance, because then we will all become extremely rich in the next few years, that there's not going to be any cost increase wherever. 70 rand a square meter for the next 5 years. I mean, really, political parties are always looking for cheap offices. Can you please indicate us where we can get those sort of rental contracts?
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just suspect when you look at the start of this presentation that actually what they've done is they're giving us the costing for the entire bill, not just the fingerprint. They're talking about DNA this and DNA that, and I'm wondering whether there may be some confusion then, and I don't think it assists us at all for the purpose of passing the fingerprint legislation to know what they need for the whole bill. We need to have separate cost specifications in respect of each one. And just practically for my purposes, I don't know how this is going to actually work. I mean, what is envisaged for fingerprints? Are we going to send all the fingerprints to one place, and then we're going to have a certain number of people who are actually able to do the searches, which would make sense, because then you don't need a whole lot of offices all over the place. And you can also then limit, obviously, the number of people who have access to this. Can I just explain how practically this thing is actually going to work? Secondly, has there been any consultation whatsoever with the teachers, given that they were telling us the other day that they are going to reduce our capacity on the computer system? I mean, they're planning all these increased searches and increased capacities and increased computers and that, and they're telling us now they haven't got enough money and they're actually going to be reducing our access, basically, on the computer nation. So has there been any consultation with the teachers? As far as the backlog is concerned, I would imagine the forensic science laboratories are going to already be overloaded anyway. They already have a backlog. They're still going to be getting more stuff in now with extra fingerprints to check. And they're also getting the firearm amnesty, which presumably will be a whole lot of firearms going ready to check if they've been using crimes as well. Have they taken that into account? Also in connection with the costs, there's operational costs that they're talking about on page 14. It doesn't seem to be any operational cost of salaries. There's no indication of what the ongoing cost of all these extra salaries is going to be. And I don't understand how operational expenditure can go down every year. I mean, it's usually constant and going upwards. And just finally for clarity, the referral to 1,000 searches per day at the end of the presentation. They were referring to doing all these 8,000 and 12,000 searches, and then at the end of this presentation they're saying only 1,000 searches per day for Home Affairs. Is that in addition to the 8 plus 1? So what is the total number of searches going to be then under the SAN system? Okay. Thank you very much,
Madam. And this is one piece of legislation that is trying to interpret and talk to the interpretation of the community. The processing of this bill, from what we have said, itself is not expected. The department has not spoken to the correctional services. We don't know what is happening there. We don't know what is happening, what transport, but we want to end up with an integrated criminal justice system when the way towards that is disintegrated. You don't know what is happening. As a matter of fact, my question, which I have within me, is whether the senior managers of staff have seen the picture. That they are waiting for this document, probably necessarily the best option for them to do that. I just don't know. Because if this is a product of the senior management of staff, I can't understand why would they give us options to do what, because we don't need options. We want them to trust on the basis of the information that they have in the department. And what is the involvement of other departments that are affected by this bill, but in the criminal system? One is really interested in that. I think members have asked many of the questions. I think the main question I will answer with the Honourable Chair is that and it will be implemented if we pass it. Then how will it be implemented? Or if it at the same time or in phases, if in phases how?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the transport management, I think, they received the documents. It was discussed with Deputy National Commissioner Farmer, who said we started with the intensive consultation process within the within SAF. And they will also engage other government departments. It also needs to be because it impacts on other government departments as well. So I'm told that the indication was given by the Treasury as well on the allocation of the funds. If those funds are going to be awarded the allocation as indicated by the Treasury, then SAPS will be able to implement the bill. Yes.
Can you once more about yourself and where you come from and the children and therefore I could be working there in your dedication?
Thank you, Chair. I'm Assistant Commissioner Kuno for the head of Tumas Record Center. And
I am Superintendent Miller from Yorkshire, working as a director.
This is Leon Rubendahl. I'm the APIS manager at SAP CRC.
Thank you.
That's what, because I'm going to request them to feed into some of the questions. That's what was said, the Commissioner Rama told us. He said we're still going to, because every divisional commission, I think he was sent a document of it. They are still going through the consultation process. And I think at the later stage, that's what we said at the end, we'll have a review draft. And that's what I said, it's the draft process.
So, Mr. Chairperson, the question you asked with regards to the mandate for them to present this document to be sanctioned by the top management of the police, I think the question is low based on what the gentleman said. Therefore, Chairperson, for us to waste our time on all the issues that members have raised and yourself have raised, what I'll suggest, Chair, would be that we get a clear mandate from the police on the implementation of this. Because the gentlemen that are sitting here, they may not give us the answers that they want. Secondly, Chair, we cannot treat this piece of legislation in isolation of the overhaulment of the criminal justice system. Therefore, my proposal, Chair, is that we need to ask the official government to go back and prepare a proper plan of implementation of the bill that is before us. Your current work you are receiving is not on that. Why I'm saying this, Chairperson, is that a number of departments that you yourself have made mention of are not interested in this particular presentation that you are receiving today. It means that, Chair, whatever that is being said, it's a repetition of the very simple order that is sent to. With respect, Chair, my proposal is that we will definitely have to get a full report from the top police minister on the implementation of the deal that the committee has already put up about finalizing and passing the committee. And we will not be able to pass that deal without that information. So the information that we are receiving, and the gentleman, the man I meet, will respond in Chair to me, Chair, that there's no mandate in place. There's no clear division within the police structure, within the cluster itself, that this should be the approach that this should take. If you go through this development presentation, Chair, between Home Affairs and the police, there's no say anything much about justice, for example, self-service, the role of Sita, which is the one that is hosting all of this work for the system. So therefore, Chair, my proposal is that we definitely have to get a proper, you know, composition of the department, which is driven from the cluster point of view and transformation of criminal justice system. Imagine a situation case would have gone through with the DNA process again in the bill. Just imagine the situation here that we're going to find ourselves. And I think we have tried to make it quite easier. To say, let's focus on fingerprints, body prints, and photographs. We're trying to make it easier. But the bigger picture is that at the end of the day, we'll have to go to the DNA. And this foundation that this gentleman is talking about is not really using a bet. It's not using a bet here. Because we have separated the bill knowing that it's going to be infected. So the first thing is supposed to be this one, it's not addressing what we want. So we are already missing the boat from the beginning again. We're not going to be spending state money on things that are not clear. So therefore, Chair, my proposal was simple to say that let the department go back as a matter of agency. Meet with other stakeholders, come here, present the final presentation on how you're going to implement this. That's all. So that's my position, Chair. Thank you.
I will have to if we will allow the department to respond on questions asked and we'll take it from there. And I'm saying this because indeed there was pressure from our side on the department to come in and make this presentation. They indicated that they've not met with the National Commissioner on the substance. But because of our process, why I take note of the fact that this bill was with the department some many months ago. You should have done that earlier. But lately, as I think you responded to our request, it was indicated before you came that you were not that ready to appear today. But it was because of the process. And on those cases, I will allow you to. Act on this implementation plan. And the fact that we indeed have invited the Department of Health to come and make its presentation, the Department of Home Affairs has made its presentation today, the Department of Transport to make its presentation and submitted a written apology. And therefore, this is the Department of Police which can make its presentation, and we will want to criticize the presentation it is making. And of course, from there, we will decide on what to do on the basis of this, which I think we have some challenges with it, but we will be talking to you about it. What we looked at is that the approach seemed not to be adopted. That is.
Thank you, Chair. I would just like to comment on the remarks about training. It is currently the position that the training colleges are mainly used for the training of visible community, and that we have been trying to get a facility to train our trainers in, and that it is currently being investigated. So this cost is projected against the current situation where we have to make use of guest houses, but in our final plan we did indicate that we need to investigate the possibility of getting a more cost-effective training facility to facilitate the training of all our members. What we also need to take note of is that due to the training that we need to give, we need specialized equipment, and these equipment are not necessarily available at the training institution, which will incur another cost for the making available of this specialized facilities. That is the reason why we did indicate we are going to procure 18 mobile fingerprint laboratories, which we can then duly use as training facility and also as a
can't be the dedication facility, so that we can actually take the training to the members and not bring the members to the course. So, we did indicate the training and the expenditure thereof, but we are doing our utmost best to bring down that cost. The remark on the fact that we did not indicate an increase in the costing, I recognize that problem with the presentation, but we made the assumption that the normal NCEF increase will be applicable to all these amounts, and it's costed against the current rates. So we can make a projection on including then the increase in the cost. Yes, thank you, Chair.
On the, I think the reason why EPIS was implemented, maybe you should stop going on the EPIS backlog, why there is EPIS backlog, if EPIS was implemented in 2002. I think the reason, as you know, it has been the network capacity, which has been an issue. And then the other reason is the search capacity. Since 2002, I think EPIS was yet upgraded was given additional, in terms of the search capacity, but due to the increase in demand, it could not cope. That's the reason why some of the backlog is built. But what we have indicated how we are intending to adjust the backlog after the EPIS upgrade, because we're running a parallel process now. We have worked, because most of the time we lost some of the personnel, but we've been able to fill all the vacancies. That's what happened with the EPIS backlog. And then with the consultation of the steward, he says I cannot really respond to that, because I said we've already engaged, as I've indicated on my slide. From our side, we have engaged the Department of Home Affairs, but I was also informed by ISM they have already started, they've already engaged Department of Transport and other departments for the integration of the system, but I don't have all the information of me. ISM apparently has done this. Information systems management. On the asphalt canteen print.
Yes. Chapter 41, you said communication.
Yes.
You said communication between Home Affairs, the Secretary of Commission Services, Transport and Ownership, and communication.
Yes.
How can it be in risk if communication has been taking place badly? How can it be in risk if it ends in risk?
There's no official forum, either for a place where we can say that there's official communication channels that we can use. So what we're saying actually is that we need to create that to push this process forward now, and to provide for a proper platform from we can start looking at. Right. Actually, there's no interdepartment exchange of information now. So we need to set that, and we need to create that to enable us to properly provide for this work. That's why we indicated that's a risk. We need to get that in place.
So there's no platform for a
discussion. Yes. Speaking on the development and the implementation of the systems, alright? So we need to focus that. There's no forum where we discuss this and where we go forward and plan and implement for implementation. Nothing. So we need to create that.
Get that office to come and also inform the committee of how exactly they arrived at the conclusions and how exactly they can explain making the statements that we find, for example, in the Objects Memorandum about consultation. Members, and I do not, I'm sensitive about referring to the ad hoc committee process when the board was originally introduced, but they have the same problem with implementation then. And we are aware that within that Office of Criminal Justice reviewed all the role plays again then and developed a most comprehensive implementation plan, and frankly I find it a bit surprised that that has not yet surfaced in the deliberations so far, although I suppose it is not deliberations yet. But I do think I would suggest with your leave that I approach this office and come and ask them to come and also give the committee a rather comprehensive briefing on how they arrived at all the provisions that we find in the bill and also on the work that has been done so far in relation to the bill. Now, it's a common course that since the fourth parliament or since the change in administration, we did have some challenges in carrying the process forward, but I think that by this time around, we would be in a position, we should be in a position to actually take that process forward as well. So at this stage, Chair, I don't think I should probe you on that. But while I have the floor, Chair, with your leave, there was also the question asked by Ms. Van Dijk about the protection of personal information book, I think that's what it's called. But yes, firstly, I must make it very clear that I cannot speak authoritatively on that book. Save but to remark that I think one could safely assume that that legislation being in place by now, we would probably have to look at the safeguards with regard to the protection of personal information and the data wages in this legislation from another angle. In other words, it probably would not be necessary to go to the extent that we have got to deal with it in this bill to safeguard that information. But we must also bear in mind the reality that that bill is still draft legislation in the making. Even at this stage, the implementation that is envisaged for this bill is probably only going to kick in at the end of 2010. And hopefully this legislation, in other words, precede that legislation. So I think, firstly, we cannot rely at this stage on those provisions. But secondly, the sensitivity of the information being dealt with here probably justified in any event that you have specific provisions in this legislation to safeguard those provisions. I hope that is of some assistance, Chair.
Because we want to know how this will be implemented.
So indeed, in the near future, you will be calling everybody to come and then present his final implementation plan. We take note of this fact and the fact that it is a So we will request that you go back and you report, and indeed, we will request that in future, when we call the department, let people who are not filled come. They show us something that they are able to account fully for the things that have been here and for the decisions that should be taken or that have been taken and are able to provide with us. So we really, really do that. And that is said on this one issue. I will not allow them to respond or to add or to say anything. We're closing this presentation by the Department of Justice at this stage. And please not to 2 months or whatever. You've got to do it within this week, next week, should it be possible. We are going to break for tea, 15 minutes, we have 10 minutes, and then we are going to have a presentation.
From that report saying it was based on the input that we have actually
submitted beforehand. Let me allow Johan Entrance, without any waste of time, to continue and take us through the presentation as requested. And within that, we'll be waiting to get questions and be able to respond on to whatever is coming through the table. Thanks. Over to you, Johan.
Thank you, Ramon Bedoff, Chief, honorable members of the committee. We have presented or prepared this presentation with a point of view that, as much as I'm the general manager for the SAPS business unit, I'm also quite involved with the bigger RGN handle. So a lot of the comments and statements that I will be making here is from that perspective as well, integrating the capabilities of those participating departments. And FIFA Pretty Map, the service provider, must make sure that where the business requirement is for the integration of the fingerprint databases, that we ensure the technical capability to be able to do so. SAPS presented their discussions that they had in this regard, and I will talk to that again in terms of the various forums that do exist where some of these things are deliberated. Starting then off, technology challenge. What we hope to then cover with your permission is then just to quickly put CIPA's role in terms of the implementation of the forensic procurement amendment bill into perspective for this forum. Then also talk to the information technology systems that we actually do support now currently. Now, SAPS went into quite detail in unpacking those systems, so I'm not going to repeat that. Mine is a very higher level in terms of the integration element more than the technical capability of each application. Then I would like to then speak to the sharing, the merging, or the interfacing of databases, and that's pretty much the two options that was talked to by SAPS. From our perspective, it's more a phased approach. On a quick win perspective, the whole can enable the participating department to get quick wins in terms of improving their crime investigation capabilities. On the long-term phase three is actually to have one single database. Now, in the report that we also gave with this presentation, there's a little bit more expansion in terms of those three phases and the challenges that we foresee in terms of the third phase, in terms of integrating. So in my presentation, I will try and extract those things applicable to that phased approach as opposed to options, and see how best we can get the best quick one. However, the reason it's got to start, and the start is pretty much the mandate given by the board for the police then to get access to that information. I would like to then spend a few minutes then in terms of the ICT infrastructure capacity that CIPA, through its role and mandate, then brings to the table in terms of hosting and the networking capability, and that pretty much enables these departments in terms of information sharing and exchange. And lastly, then a few thoughts in terms of implementation considerations and costing. In terms of costing, I will not be as expensive in terms of the detailed program cost that was prepared by the business, because at the end of the day, we receive a task as part of that bigger program where they're looking after the infrastructure, vehicles, etc. We only look after the ICT component, and we have not yet received the task in terms of that analysis. So I will be speaking to that one again. Then in terms of our support in terms of the implementation of the bill, we fully support the initiative from the Office of the Criminal Justice Reform to request for the amendment bill. Mr. Johnny DeLonga, in terms of keeping up the process, put a challenge to the IGS board in terms of making sure that the current process is improved. And this was identified as one of the key elements to enable the improvement of SAPS' crime investigation capability. So,
I wonder if you could just clarify. On the presentation we've got, it says CICA was not involved with the Office of Criminal Justice System Reform Request for Amendment Bill. So you were never involved at the outset, but now different says it differently up there. You support the bill. It's very sweet of you, but it actually now takes away the fact that you were never involved in it. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. A very valid observation. My intention was initially to go up to the fact to say we've got the capabilities to support it. After getting the pre-insurance, it's actually positioned it in something like that. I do apologize for that. It's a valid observation. Just in terms of the word there of not involved immediately killed the circle approach.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it would be my
mistake.
Yeah, I do apologize. Valid. So then in terms of the business requirements, like I said, we will be receiving that from the various departments' CIOs. and all of them being involved with the IGS Plus, they've got various tasks in terms of this goal that they need to fulfill. Either in terms of preparation of information or the interaction capabilities between the databases and or systems. Now, within the different environments within the CBU unit that I'm dealing with after, I will be handling the SAS portion of integration. But I can't do so without interacting with Home Affairs and the Department of Transport. So through that consultation process, we on technical level will definitely be integrating and discussing with those departments. In terms of the ICT involvement based on the business agreements with the departments, in each one of these cases we sit with various challenges. By CETA Act, there's only two functions that are mandatory, and then that's the hosting and the networking side. The rest is really optional. In the case of SAP, the total service portfolio is optional. And in last week, the CIO of SAP did present that we are the outsourced partner to them. So when I then go through the detail of discussing each one of these systems, I will be talking about the principle of, in some cases, we merely host the application on our domains. In some cases, we merely present the communication network between the database and the various endpoints. In some other cases, we do the development and enhancement of that ICT application. And as soon as you're in the development seat and enhancements, then what you do is you constantly improve the capability in support of the business processes. We are only hosting or giving a communication mechanism, which pretty much the CIO offers, that then needs to determine those improvement capabilities. And then lastly is the facilitation of departmental tenders. Yes, in some cases, the departmental CIO can go through the motions of looking at the ICT requirements, set up the architecture, look at the business requirements, and then come to CETA and say, publish the following tender specs for me. We then do so, and the department contracts then directly with the industry in terms of the development of this. CETA then, as entity, is totally kept out of the process up to such a stage that either something must be hosted on our mainframe domain, or when something goes wrong, one of the two. Then talking about the criminal justice process and the value chain, and I think as committee you're well afraid with this specific picture, in terms of the value chain of the criminal investigation process. I'd like to just quickly put this up again, just to position the exit system in terms of the SAS portion of responsibility. Then there is things being done in terms of the tracking of the person through the value chain, which talks to the fingerprints of that person going with. But it's pretty much at the SAS stage where this person needs to be first identified in terms of the fingerprint capability that needs to be matched in terms of our ecosystem. The next slide then for the first time introduced the Department of Home Affairs, who was recently incorporated to the IJS board that I mentioned. The IJS board sits on a monthly basis, and it's pretty much the forum where the discussion forums in terms of initiatives like this goal is discussed from an ICT perspective. It's led by the DG of the Department of Justice in terms of Jerry, and then the rest of the CIOs of all these departments participate on this discussion forum on a monthly basis. CETA also has a seat on this. And the total program for the IJS reform and improvement is discussed on that forum. This slide basically outlines the main programs in terms of addressing the responsiveness of SAS to crime, the case management portion, and how that will spill over through the NPA and justice. And already in that environment, I do believe SAS is already presented, and we also spoke to that in our last session. In terms of the e-docket capability that presents to the NPA, in terms of the integrated manner that case document content without there having the physical documents in hand. And so forth, it also goes on to justice. If there's any of these abbreviations that you're not familiar with, you must please then either in terms of your questions or just stop me if you're not familiar with the specific acronym used. Then the next thing that we're talking about here is the person slash identity management. Whereas the SAPS environment focused on the input system in terms of focus around the crime scene, the ACES component in terms of investigating and matching the fingerprints of your fingerprints, and life scan is actually the acquisition of that fingerprint. That process must first be completed before they can go into the next step, being the detention management of that person being in the holding cell. Thereafter, that thing in red is a value chain that then carries through from that process into the rest of the integrated justice process. There is the IJS person tracking system that's being now discussed on this IJS board in terms of the development of that and the standards that need to be followed in terms of passing in this information and this identification of this person over to the NPA during the prosecution phase, over to justice for the physical force, and thereafter incarceration, rehabilitation, and find that back to the Department of Home Affairs as a role player in terms of this. The transversal requirements is right on the right hand side is the thing that is necessary to enable this cross departmental communication. And this is pretty much the technical capabilities of passing on the information. For each one of these departments, they've got their own programs and projects to take this information and better integrate the business processes that they apply in terms of administrative management of their responsibilities. Quickly then coming back to the Department of Home Affairs. We were unfortunately not present at the presentation yesterday. We can therefore not comment in terms of what they said in terms of implementation. But their core business is managing the population register and the people on it in terms of identification. Research capabilities as presented by SACS is not really a big priority for them. They don't necessarily need to compare two sets of fingerprints unless there's a falsification of an ID number or the identity of a person. Then they need to compare in terms of trying to resolve it. The real emphasis for me here is the database and having that comparison capability comes back to the access capability of SACS. And if you're looking at a single centralized database, this is a logical point where it's supposed to be. And then obviously on top of this, the performance management that is established in the business intelligence of all of these departments. Then moving over to the information technology systems, and like I said, the Department of Police already presented their things related to the fingerprint capability, so I'm not going to go into much detail in terms of each one of them. What's important for me here is the involvement of CETA on each one of these. In terms of systems simply hosted by CETA, ACES was implemented far back. We were involved initially with the negotiations, but when it became a public partnership agreement between SAPS and SAGEM, or actually at that stage the Independent Development Corporation, CETA was effectively moved to the background. The ACES system did run on our infrastructure, but all that we had to do is to make sure that the system was operationally available. What happens in this application is that SAGEM, the service provider in this case, and the hardware supplier, actually subcontracted CETA to do the desktop support in terms of their equipment. In terms of the budget that was presented for the upgrade of APIS, it spoke to the fact that it needs to increase the capability for searching. But a big portion of that is the fact that the current APIS system is already 7 years old, 8 years old. It's outdated, it's end of life. The equipment is breaking at such a failure rate that we actually a year ago considered refusing support on that because we simply cannot get the replacement parts for a lot of these things. We did get an agreement with some subcontractors in terms of supply of equipment, and we continue support. That's why it's very important for our perspective as well that we get that approval and lead them to address the upgrade of the ACES capability, even if the fingerprint goal is postponed for a period of time. The second one is the fingerprint enrollment system. It's also an initiative that started from the IJS forum. And the fingerprint enrollment all started with the device capability. There was technology improvement whereby the scanner capability of the fingerprints was so evolved that that capability to take 10 fingers at the time was introduced in terms of international development. Research was done, it was introduced within the police. Around that, then, system was developed to replace the taking of fingerprints through the SAP X76, which is passed on to CRC for the physical verification of the information. And that taking of the electronic taking or acquisition of the fingerprints is a bit that's all printed out on the 76 before it's sent on. There is now currently a process in terms of how to link these devices and the system through the central database so it can be passed in electronically instead of manually and recaptured at the CRC. Then there was also the e-booth photo capturing system. It was a system of camera capability that was implemented at the police station. It's still being in the process of rolled out. As people is brought into detention at the police cell, the photograph is taken of him as well as any other belongings, possessions that he was had with him, as well as certain evidence that was captured at the scene will be captured through the system. I must immediately mention this is not a high-definition camera capability of the CRC at the physical crime scene, but it's just things that's brought in a set within the police station, a as part of the exhibit management to say, yes, we've received this piece of exhibit, take a photo and then we need to do a specification. The detail capabilities within the CRC, for example, the 900,000 cameras, the spare on type of cameras, can take in a single view the total room within a minute and replay the total scene without any changes. And that is why that technology is so extensive. Yes, we've done comparison between products in the market. There's two product players. One is 900 and the other one is 850,000. So yes, we will go through a tender to enable SAPS with that acquisition. Then the firearm control system as well. It really kicked off initially in 2000, even earlier than that, 2000. CITA was involved with the user requirement specification. However, when it came to tender process, at that stage, SAPS decided to directly contract with the supplier. They have been busy with the development, and it's very much in the news of the reapplication for firearms. Within that system as well, there's an image of a fingerprint of everybody that applies for a firearm. That has already been sent through to the AFIS database for verification as part of the approval of the license, but it's also another source of fingerprints that we are hosting, but we're not really managing. Then in terms of managed applications and hosted, SAPS in their presentation explained the Judith system. CITA is responsible for managing the supplier. We are responsible for the maintenance of the scanners, the high volume scanners as well, at the Forward and Logistics and the other offices being implemented. And we effectively manage the ESLA in the performance of the application. We are now busy reassessing this type of technology platform. Then, in terms of systems developed and hosted by CITA, SAPS presented the National Photo Image System. And I must mention this system was considerably enhanced over the past 2 years. In terms of expanding capabilities in terms of high-resolution photographs, recognizing the format, electronic format of various multiple media, and also to bring in video streaming, because as part of the high-tech center at the CRC, there's also a requirement to take CCTV clips as well as other DVD capabilities and store that in such a manner that it will not be questioned in the court of law. The system was expanded to assist with some of that capabilities. Then the local record criminal center administration system was also developed by CITA. My feedback as Professor yesterday said that there is currently some challenges in the system in terms of really supporting the administrative processes. We have made a proposal some year ago to the CIO of SAP that we need to rewrite this application. The principal approval was given, but funding is always an issue. So hopefully we'll get approval very soon to optimize this for the CRC. Then the current system was explained in detail. This system goes back to 1996-97 where it was developed. It was perfected at the time. And like that indicated, this is pretty much the start all and end all of the searches against the AFIS system. If through the past you receive the feedback, and of course the total criminal record of the specific person. Department of Home Affairs technology, we host the LANA system, but that's it. We don't have any further interaction on technical level, but that we can get going. Also, the National Population Register is hosted by us, but it is not managed by us. Department of Transport, we don't have any involvement with e-natives. It's hosted by the department themselves. But we have discussions with them, and with the problems that they had initially with the startup, we provide technical assistance in terms of getting that to resolve. Then in terms of the sharing, merging, and interfacing of databases, we are of the opinion that the sharing of fingerprints, body prints, and photographs, that there should be an en masse or a bulk transfer of SAPS, two SAPS of the 33 million, and that there is only been updates being given thereafter. What can be given in return, like SAPS presented, is then the wanted links in terms of a specific person, or alternatively a request for a specific image of a person if they want to verify the identity of the person can also be a quick one. Merging of databases, there's going to be challenges in merging all of these. There's a unique identifier required. In some cases, the ID number and passport number is sufficient. And in the case of SAPS, like they also mentioned, they've got a print at a crime scene. They don't have any person in the reference. So the matching of these and managing of a single database will be quite challenging. So once again, it's an implementation phase approach, not the fact that tomorrow we can get this whole thing the ideal in place. Then also merging of databases, it will pose challenges to departmental systems. The impact on our own affairs or routine office, etc., if they need to work through to a central database, because that the reaction time of this remote database will determine their own administrative capability. Interfacing of databases, there's already an interfacing via the IJS interoperability hub established between police, justice, DPS, exchanges of information already takes place through this hub, the standardization of technologies. And then also within SAPS, there was a service integration bus established. What this means, the integration service basically says, irrespective of technology, any technology can talk to each other if information is passed on a specific standard. And we'll quickly go back to that one again. Just in reference, the IJS Hub and the picture actually pulls together information from all these departments, standardized conversion that is done in this. So irrespective of the language source or the code structures or anything done by the department in this hub, there will be a conversion. So card number Toyota 123 with code X1Z will be converted in the process and translated to the language of the receiving department. And that is the function of the interoperability hub. It will speak then to each one of the departmental integration services. SAPS is already up and running since last year. They acquired the software in 2007 and we established it early 2008 we went live. And the integration service then talks to the hub, but it also integrates the systems within the department in terms of non-duplication, etc. Then in terms of the departmental bus or the SAPS bus, like I said, it talks to the IJS hub, it already talks to the NPA, we are sharing eDocker, talks to Justice, the DCS, and MFS. There is already interaction in terms of the verification of the person. It needs to be extended further in terms of the different police functions. We also have interactions with the Interpol in terms of sending information up and down in terms of stolen vehicles, etc. And then in terms of partners, there's a specific link and next mechanism of how we will interact with Home Affairs and Department of Transport. Department of Transport did indicate in the briefing to your chair the fact that they already have this interface and it can be expanded to address the further requirements of the police. In terms of infrastructure capabilities, when I started, I said that we do have a next-generation network. It's world-class for the capability to enable interdepartmental communication. And we also have very big hosting capabilities that can be used to facilitate the image response. So, just a quick overview in terms of the NGN. We are represented in 32 switching centers across the country. What it effectively says is any department anywhere in South Africa can be given the access to this network. It's got a big core capability to move information around. So coming back to the SAPS comment, this is not the SAPS network that I'm talking about. This is the CITA network. SAPS is not part of this network. And I will speak to that accurate capability again. What it is saying is that we can assert the integration of Home Affairs and the Department of Transport. Currently, we've got around about 230 customers making use of this engine. Then, just in terms of reactiveness, we've got the network operations center where 24/7 we monitor this. So, often before the workstation of the specific end user is not working, we know about it and we are already busy fixing the problem. The infrastructure capability through the NGN already fully deployed, creates a platform for e-government. VPN can be created on this NGN, so if there's a specific requirement of the department to have the ring-fence capability, we can do so in terms of their design policies. It presents multimedia functionality, so if we need to send large images, photos, and fingerprints across this network, we can do so. It obviously provides also data and voice capability, and we are now implementing a lot of replacements in terms of ICT for replacement telephones. It provides various levels of network security. So for the basic department, we've got an adherence to the NIST standards. If a department like police or one of the other departments requires a higher capability, we can install the necessary hardware and software, like IP Granite and Symantec software to make it more secure for the department. And like I mentioned, we've got the end-to-end network management capabilities with fine portals for statistics, so the client can actually log on the 203 offering to see how the network is performing. In terms of interoperability, I mentioned the fact that SAPS use their own private network managed by CITA. Commissioner Meyer did talk to the expansion that we are currently busy with. This year we are doing roughly 400 million worth of expansion upgrades to the network capabilities. The CRC is part of this year's upgrades. The 87 sites, as I quickly recall, that is being upgraded. Andrew Max is one of the ones that we like. Yes, we are focusing both the fingerprints and the DNA capability. So the forensic laboratories and the CRCs is all being addressed with this current update. Department of Life Justice, Constitutional Development use their own VPN from Telkom, but they are linking into the IGS hub, and we therefore do have connectivity. Any network can effectively be linked to the IGS hub, and we've got interconnectivity with secure portals in terms of enabling that. Then moving over to the hosting services, we've got three very large mainframe domains, one of them being the Numeris capability, where we currently have all the SAPS databases. SAPS is currently busy with a 40 million upgrade to the storage capability. So if we need to transfer the 53 million worth of fingerprints, we can do so. This is stemming from the IGS program, because with the on-site of all this integration and this all being approved, this is certain things that we need to do to ensure that we are ready for when it happens. In terms of the larger hosting sites, at Numeris, at Centurion, as well as Natalia, is the fact that in each one of them, there's big mainframe capabilities, and we can effectively render that service to government. We also have a secure disaster recovery site. It's twice a year, and I can report it's fully very successful at each one of those tests. So it should any systems that go down of any department or a natural disaster on any of the three sites, we can restore within 24 hours. Implementation considerations and costing. We really recommend from a CETA perspective that we focus on the sharing of databases. There's a lot of business processes that still need to be resolved. The technical side of it has been discussed in the IGS board of how they can interact and make this available information available. Today there is not, and I think moving the step forward in terms of approving the board, giving the capability to the department then to have entitlement to them, will set a way in terms of utilizing that to the best effort or to the best capability of running over time to deploy this throughout the country. After the initial transfer, a daily update or even weekly or monthly can be considered from the various departments just to reduce the network traffic. Because that's only one of the biggest problems. If you do it per transaction, and we mentioned 2 million transactions, it's going to kill the network. If we do a back-end merging, it's going to be much easier and will cost the government far less. For the transfer of information, we do recommend that the JAXML standards for data transfer be adhered to. And what I quickly added prior to presenting is also the NIST standard. That applies for the image, not necessarily the communication and the information passed with the image. So just to be clear in terms of what CAPS presented and my reference to the JAXML. I already mentioned the lack of a unique identifier that's going to be evident in terms of images received. That I do believe it's a manageable challenge. We were not involved with the funding request and the discussions that far. So I've learned a lot today in terms of the presentation that was given by SAPS about the funding and what they plan on doing. I would like to, however, give the committee the reassurance that we've got the capability in place to fulfill on those if it's given through the CETA to fulfill. We are comfortable with that. Most of the stopping elements presented, it looks in line with what can theoretically be expected for those initiatives. Also, I would like to present to the committee that there is current investment in the IGS hub. It is maybe not necessarily known to the CRC in terms of their daily interactions with ISM, but that investment of the 24 million for the initial establishment, as well as the recurring maintenance of 5 million, is something that's not fully utilized at this stage. We are at the beginning stages of the IGS program getting to its fullest extent, and I do believe that we can immediately use that capability, and we'll have to then upgrade as soon as we reach the threshold in terms of the planning for that. And in closure, I do believe that CETA's integrated infrastructure can be utilized to very good effect for enabling this goal to ensure that the technologies of the Department of Home Affairs, Justice, as well as the other departments can talk to each other. In preparing this, we looked at the poll and we also looked at the reference of others in terms of regional or national departments, regional and local authorities. There's a current right thing to integrate the Metro Police and their capabilities. There's also origin of fingerprints. We're also talking about physical access control to buildings where the registration is also through fingerprints. I think we are just at the start of exploiting fingerprints within government and the various databases, and I'm sure that CISA can assist in terms of exploiting that through our exposure to those identity components and add value to SAPS and this committee in terms of improving on-ground fighting within South Africa. Yeah, that's pretty much our role that we foresee in terms of supporting this goal in the common degrees to the implementation.
Thank you very much.
I assume that this, all those extra security and stuff that you're talking about that we can get, which I would sincerely hope that we would include in the bill as a requirement. I mean, you can't have anyone having access to fingerprints of anybody, so it's not going to happen. I assume that's all going to cost money. Now, if you haven't had any discussions with SAPS as to how much it's going to cost and what SAPS is going to have to pay, then how can you actually determine whether the amount that they've given in their presentation is correct? I mean, because they actually haven't given any indication in their presentation as to payments received. Now, I assume you're also talking about upgrading your infrastructure and so on, which I assume would also cost extra money, which SAPS would have to pay for, or Home Affairs, or whoever. And have you had no discussions with anyone? And, I mean, that's also linked to that question, how long would it actually take? What I want to know is, what can you actually do now? If we implemented this bill next week, and it was fast, what can you do now, as far as capacity is concerned? with all three of the departments, or with this staff, or what, and how do you actually get that linkage between the different, between having correctional services, home affairs, transport, which is? That's really my main question. And also about this forum you referred to. I mean, exactly there was no forum, but you said there is some kind of forum where you get together. Can you just tell us, is this a different forum you're talking about? What actually, is that forum about? The CISA raises, we've received two possibilities from such two scenarios. CISA's raising a third scenario. The scenario they're raising is do a one-off transfer of the data available on the system to such, so the such has access, if I understand it correctly. And then you just do the update, which, to my simple mind and not understanding the technical issues, makes some sort of sense. That it's financially most properly would be a more viable option. It's just, I'm making this comment because it also again shows that we are working separate from one another. There's no communication, there's no interaction whatsoever. Now, the question is not only, well, it's clear, you basically said you haven't had any discussion. I would be interested to know whether there's been discussions with the IT inspection in SAFSA. And then I find all of this quite interesting, what CETA is saying, because last week CETA and SAFSA were there, and they still don't have an agreement, performance agreement that they've signed. Now, the presentation that we have here is actually saying that we need to enhance that partnership that does exist in what I presume, and from what I've seen also, because somewhat of a hostile environment. We now need to have an even closer relationship, and etc. This is a serious, serious concern. That government officials, and I include citizens, are abusing the need and the genuine approach of government to improve people's lives, fight crime, etc., etc. How difficult can it be to get all the different divisions that is affected by this, all the different departments that is involved in this, around one table for one day to sort out this issue? And you can't answer this question. I mean, you can't answer this question. I'm just getting so frustrated in this space that I don't know what we need to do. We can't afford, we're not a country with unlimited resources. We've got other priorities than crime fighting. We've got education, we've got health, etc., etc., etc. But yet we've got departments coming here, one after the other, not talking to one another. We've got SAPS coming here, not talking to the other divisions within SAPS. And at some point in time, Jefferson, I believe, and if this legislation is the process in which we need to do it, then we need to call government officials to order. We can't continue voting millions and billions of rands and then get a dysfunctional presentation that was like we did today, and like we did 2 weeks ago, and like we did in January of this year. At some point, Jefferson, the blame always comes back to the politicians. But surely the responsibility also lies with the government officials who are actually supposed to be doing the work on the ground. And I honestly believe whatever we decide as a committee, that when we deal with this legislation, that in our report, this should form part of our report, that we are really upset about this whole approach that has been taken on this field. We're talking about at least 10 billion rand in total. You know how many houses we could build for 10 billion rand? How many children we could put through universities for 10 billion rand? How many jobs we can create for 10 billion rand? But there's a total non-communication between the different departments involved. I actually feel like we're waking up. Thank you. Chair, look, I think the coup came with a missing sentence. Sita was never invited. So what we've seen happen here, and I had a slightly different take on this to Honourable Ali, is that the ministers are not taking this bill seriously. They've basically done nothing to forward its progress. What we see here from SAT is a kind of low-level delegation. We've had disastrous input from them. The ministries have not even given their business requirements to the CETA, so they're actually having to make it up as they go along. There'll be no consultation between the ministries. We have this speaker speaking of a single database. The SAT threw out that idea. That was their suggestion number two that they said they totally disagreed with and couldn't work. They said it was only a kind of medium strategy. This one's talking long-term strategy. It was just totally dysfunctional. It's just not working. I have a tendency to want to believe what the techies have to say because they seem on board here. Who, despite the fact that they weren't invited, actually seemed to be able to pull it all together. How the SAT has got quite rightly raised by one of the members here was the fact that the SAT came up with all these figures and forgot to ask the people who actually do the job. I find it extraordinary. Who are they going to get these figures from? And then into this mix comes this information that the APIS system is actually breaking down in these places. We can't now expect it to cope with an additional burden without the necessary upgrading or an entirely new system being introduced, which is what I think I got out of that. So what we've seen is exorbitant costing from the SAT in relation to the implementation of this system. We've heard nothing about security clearances for the people who would have access to this very sensitive information. We've got a huge problem here. Each presentation runs totally contrary to the next. And I think that what I can only see as a solution is that the ministers of the relevant departments should perhaps appoint a task team to coordinate and drive this thing, to ensure that the heads of all these...
Sorry, the ministers can't do the work that the officials are supposed to be doing. There are DGs in these departments, there are people responsible for the work. And I think it's absolutely unfair to refer this to the ministers not having the will. This bill comes from the ministries. We are paying state officials salaries to do the work. And yes, I agree, a task team should be appointed. But let that be a decision of the people who are responsible for it. We can't refer everything back to the ministry. Just now we're going to expect the Minister of Transport to go and regulate the traffic on the N2 as well. No.
No.
It's a point of order. Because you see, what I want to support Honourable Laman is that this bill is before Parliament. And therefore, we do not want to point fingers to this now. What we want to see happen is that we are going to expect things to happen the way in which it must happen from this committee. So therefore, if this bill were to fail, it's going to be this particular committee that's going to fail, not the minister. What I want to say here is that let's make sure that all these issues that we are raising, we must expect, in fact, the head of those departments, either to appear here or either to go and correct those things. So this bill is a bill of Parliament now.
May I continue? Thank you. As I was saying, I would see as a way forward a task team being, patiently these departments are not going to work together effectively. They've had a year and a half, I don't know, a very long time to do this. It hasn't happened. Key role players are being excluded from essential role players have been excluded. So we need someone, somehow, and I suggested a task team, I presumed, and I know Anne-Lise Honourable Ali has taken huge offence that I suggested that it should be appointed by the ministers. I don't know who should appoint the task team, so if my ignorance has somehow insulted her, I do apologise, but somebody needs to appoint, and I don't believe it's our job. But to pull together the relevant stakeholders so that actually they can work together on this. We've heard such disparate notions from different ministries, different divisions, that I think we understand it's totally dysfunctional at this stage. We can't be told at this stage of the bill that the CETA was never invited in and that it's literally having to sum such a presentation. It's just impossible. We're not seeing a team working together. They're limping along here, and every department is giving a totally contradictory presentation to the portfolio. I believe and I agree we're simply wasting our time. We've done all we can to drive this, and it is just not working. It has not worked.
I just want to make a comment here. We're talking the bill. Let's not confuse this bill and the content of the bill with the review of the criminal circumstances. I should think less too much. I think what we needed is an implementation plan of the bill. The reviewer of the criminal justice system is not only talking to the village, talks to many things. A common mission, which is in progress, a common visit by the department, which is in progress. This and that, the issues regarding our trade detainees, we know there is already something that is done about that. So the reviewer of the criminal justice system has already a chairperson. Last time it was delayed, now I understand it is Democratic, the Minister Democratic. So there is some work that is happening. We are here to listen to the bill that is before the portfolio committee. Our frustration emanates from the implementation plan from staff. I just want to say that they are right, all of us.
Yeah.
It emanates from the presentation by staff, which says staff or whoever at the level of this bill is not talking to other departments. This bill, that is what you're talking about, not the reviewer of the criminal justice. As a matter of fact, if we want to talk about that, we will have to get the team the people are talking about, because I don't think we have to create it if there is a team. I'm aware of it. Mr. Jeff is now adding that team. But I think we need not really go to other issues now and pretend that we are talking about the criminal justice system. No, we're talking about the bill. Let's remain focused to the bill and let it be happening. I mean, the input regarding the bill. Are we in agreement with the bill? Do we think the cost or whatever implementation plan that people are will enable whoever that is affected to implement the bill? If not how, I mean if yes how, if not what then? The bill itself as part of the reform of the criminal justice system. I just wanted to remind members of that, because I think we're just including everything. There is a task team. It is working. When we hear Mrs. Wilma Pisangabula talking about the awaiting trial detainees, she's talking to that reviewer. When we talk about the vision and mission of this department, they're talking to that to that way of the reviewer. And I'm not talking of what has been done in the department. They need for to be an improvement from our side, but probably we need to hear from this. I just wanted to correct my mistake, because I think we are now bringing in things that are not talking to the way that has been done. That's what I said. I have heard.
Yeah, I want to correct something if I will allow me. Chair, I just want to correct a statement that was made. Honourable Annalise van Wyk is not objecting to the fact that the village ministers should establish a task team. What she was saying was, we can't now throw everything back at the ministers and say they haven't done the work. They're not the ones who do the work, it's the officials that do the work. I wanted to correct that. It's got nothing to do with ministers appointing a task team. She didn't have a problem with that. But I think the issue was, and that's what I want to correct, it was about the fact that it's not the minister that do the work, it's the officials who do the work. So I want to just raise that. And Chair, I just want to agree with your statement now as well. I mean, I think at a ministerial level, I think there's good coordination. But I know that. I think that's where the problem is.
That's the problem.
Chairperson, when you sit and listen, do you think that we are made to face as politicians when we set a target of some sort and the officials don't keep it? Are we set to fail deliberately? Is it done deliberately? Is that what you say? That's the first question. It's a personal thing, because you can't be saying to the department, the department can't speak to each other. What does it mean? It means, therefore, somebody else has to fail. And then just look at that baboon in that face. Because the other people think that we can speak to each other. No, we can't work like that. Secondly, why then is there a section where a person cannot understand? You see, I don't understand when people say that I didn't know the costing. But we have just listened to the costing here in the budget of everything. I find it very, very, very strange. You see, now, I'm really don't understand what is going on. From confusion, I'm taken back now to where I started. I thought I was very excited by coming to this meeting. But now I'm lost again. I don't understand what's going on. Do they want us to pass this meeting, or this meeting to pass for us? When do we think can be like, and how should we do it? What kind of implementation that should be done? Where are we as a Kupulu committee? I see that. What is this? To think about this thing at this moment in time, the totality of the thing. I'm not talking about now, and that's what else. I'm looking at the field side. Where are we?
No, Chair, I think that we are in order, Chair. Why I'm saying that we are in order is because we have done what we're supposed to do with regards to the bill. We had a stage which you have explained correctly that we're looking at the implementation of the bill. And what is coming out here, Chair, is that we're not talking about coordination of the implementation, or if you have that, of the implementation. So I'll say that we are in order, Chair. What we need to do here would be from yourself to guide. The weakness that we've already identified, meaning that coordination from within the department is not happening. Therefore, that's going to be our area of focus. But the work that has been done by Parliament, we just did, I think, the current member. And then I'm very satisfied myself as a member of this committee that we have done a lot with it. It's now up to the department to implement, and they need to give us a plan of how that needs to implement. Currently, we're not satisfied of the current plan, and that's why I think I was saying, Chair, that CETA is very central because of its role and its mandate on hosting of some of the systems that they have been listening throughout, from Home Affairs to the police and all of that. So I think the only thing that should happen here would be the mandate that we must give. What is that they expect? We're not confused, we're very clear. It's not the role of the Minister of Ministers in Parliament, and therefore they must just go out and work out what they must work out and give us a clear plan of how they're going to implement it. It is a good start of the entire process of overhaulment of that judicial system for a criminal justice system. So I think it's a good start, Chair, and let us not be confused. And let's be focused.
Do you want to respond?
Yes, please, Chair. I think I just need to start off immediately to say what I'm presenting is not contradictory to what CAPS has presented. What must understand is a business perspective, there's an IT perspective. I think at the end of the day, we find the middle way between the two. From my perspective, it makes sense from a technical, long-term everything.
or Texas got anything to say, even if we transfer it today, we don't have the people in place to do that research. The data system is not strong enough to do that research. So I want to just understand it. Going back to the question of CETA versus ISM. ISM talks to CETA and they talk to industry. So as much as the CETA made a statement last week to say we are the actual service providers, yes we are, but they also talk to industry. In the case that I mentioned, our ecosystem is developed and maintained by nature. Now when I said I recognize the figures, that I received feedback from my ecosystem operator in 2075. So that makes sense, as part of the property. I see that element of the ICT in there. Yes, that is the figure that I had in my mind in terms of interactions. To say that I haven't seen the total budget, I haven't. Have I seen components of that? Yes, I have. You understand what I mean? So from that, on the disaster victim identification and some other elements, we have given property. On the total program, we have not. In terms of the recurring cost for maintenance, no, we were not approached to perform a quote on that. But the way that CETA works, we've got contract transfers already to unit price, whereby the department and, for example, ISM, who's got the technical capability to apply this pricing, can do their own estimates. And they normally present that as a budget quote to their internal processes, get the money secured, and then hand it over to CETA. What we then do is we go through the competitive bidding process. Now that immediately brings me back to this question of cost effectiveness. As much as a PC can be on a tender for 11,000 bucks, and you can walk to the closest PC shop and buy it for 9, that's just a list price rise from the various suppliers on the tender. As the winning department approach us and say, okay, now we want to buy 1,000, then we go with scale economies and we go in a bidding process from that panel and we procure that at 6,000. So the list price vis-a-vis the actual price is two different things. Which brings me back to scale economies on the NGN, and that's why we are fighting towards making use of that capability. We've established infrastructure for 500 million, now it's there. If the department is not participating in making use of the NGN and establishing their own networks alongside, we cannot get return on investment on the current infrastructure. So yes, we see that this by act we're supposed to support all of the departments. But how many departments are there through the tiers of national, regional, etc.? Not 230. And that's our plan. Cost effectiveness we can only achieve by utilizing the current investment that CETA made with the agreement with National Treasury and the Minister of DPSA in terms of this enablement of e-government. In terms of the interaction, I spoke about that one in terms of cost effectiveness, I quickly touched on that one. Making money for government, of government. In all of these things that are presented today, on each one of those acquisitions, if they need to do the upgrade of a capability or install a network upgrade, all of those will go through a competitive bidding process. So for budget planning, you will say 100 million. Then we go into competitive process facilitated by CETA. It's a segregation of duties in terms of the final award and the process. And guaranteed 9 times out of the 10, we will come in, if the thing was presented for 100 million, we will come in 80 or 75 million. So that is the process. That's somewhere you need to start. You haven't selected your supplier up front, you haven't selected your technology, you need to combine it in a plan, and that's basically what the plan says. Will definitely come in cheaper. In terms of now and the capacity, yes, we have it. Like I've explained, we've got connections to all the switching centers. We've got bandwidth in terms of the core to be able to handle the volume of traffic. We have concluded our the core network in terms of more than enough capacity to service all of the government requirements. However, we activate it in some proportions as and when there's subscription to these services. The links are across the country. We are already interacting between SAP's database and the Department of Transport in Arthur's. We are already transacting and connection databases between CETA and Garnet. So all those actions is already there, but for different departments and different reasons. What we now need to do is to take the SAP's requirement, both on the current interfaces and just get the full set of information flowing. And that's happening on technical level. Which brings me now back to the governance forums. The IGS board was established to integrate the systems of the IGS cluster. Therefore, the persons in participation is the CIOs of those departments. As and when they handle this specific system, they then go to the business, for example, within SAS. If they talk to their fingerprints, they will invite the fingerprint specialist and the manager, head of CRC, to those discussions. I'm not always there in terms of all those, but I want to give the chair the assurance that that participation takes place on those forums.
Once they've agreed on a program and an approach, then they call in CIFA to say, okay, we've agreed on this business priority, now you need to make it work. And then we participate on those IJS discussion forums as well. So we're not there as a matter of course. We are an audience, but we're not necessarily always giving direction. Of course, IJS is not supposed to steer business. It's supposed to be the other way around. We are supposed to bring the value to that. The problem is that not in every IJS board, all of the divisions of SAPS is represented. And I think that's maybe why in the presentation of SAPS, the feeling that ISM technical is not talking to the business, is not talking to CETA, might be presented. So yes, there's a lack of communication, but it's a value chain of communication. And I think if you had ISM here together with CETA, you would have had one set of presentation or approach, as opposed to lines of business, if I can call it that, and CETA. So technical business where they're up in the middle, ISM is not present. I think I've addressed the comment as well in terms of communication. Then the way that I presented the single database versus the fact that SAPS said it's not going to work. I quickly did talk to that yes, even if you do the transfer now, SAPS is not in the perfect capacity to process it. My recommendation is still transfer it, because you need to know what you work with to start exploring their capabilities as you move along. And already in terms of the resource capacity, the existing capacity plan for next year. But I haven't spoken to CRC to say how best to do it, because I've got a protocol of communication, and that's why I say I'm informed with my protocol of communication, which says that when we are ready, we'll talk to you. At this stage, I get information sources that say, this is the requirement, this is our target, this is more or less the quality, on honest, we can't really use it, but it will be a good reference base. So even transferring for a reference base, that if you possibly identify somebody through whatever mechanism, that you still have to do a national identifier, a photo of that person, as well as the unit that was created at the period of time. Acres breaking, definitely not. I think we must just be cautious in terms of what I'm saying here. If I say it's breaking and it's end of life, these workstations out there that use the access system is outdated. 7 years on workstation level is not getting there. We need to replace that. So the budget of 275 that I've seen and the discussions that I had with the Commissioner Mayor where the accurate amount was mentioned was around about 275. It's a reality. It's the fact that the equipment, both the servers as well as the workstations, needs to be replaced because it's been in use for so long that even if you increase the searching capability, the physical machines can't handle that load. And that's why the bulk of the amount seems big now, but it's a next day so for something that was stable for a period of 7 years. Then in terms of the access, and one of the concerns, the access is very clear in terms of the rights of the people to do a speculative search, but if you transgress that in terms of security clearance. I just want to give the committee the assurance that people within CETA working with this information as all top secrets be clear. This polygraph and all of this other beautiful things. And I do believe that FCRC will also attest that their 884 specialists that have the fingerprints, these top secret, if there's something like that. These guys on a regular basis, they work with this information definitely, and I'm sure that they scrutinize on a daily basis in terms of security clearance. The information security in terms of the applications. Currently, the SAP network is hosting domain is audited on an annual basis by the Auditor General in terms of security measures. Like the Commissioner presented last week, there was a lot of attempts but no breaking in terms of the CETA network as well as the SAP network the same. Talking from a security perspective, once we transfer this information into the SAP secure domain, it will not be accessible to anybody else unless there's a secure portion of capability given by a department or an entity for a specific reason. In which case that will have to adhere to the security measures. But currently the network as such will do. Closing comment, Chair. Should the board be passed, yes or no? Yes. Not my position, but the recommendation from a CETA technical perspective, I do believe that we can immediately work with the mandate given by the board. Not necessarily to fulfill its intent. There's a never ending cycle to get crime under control. We need to start somewhere. Entitlement is the somewhere. We will back to deliver it over a period of time.
No, Mr. I thought that the presenter from point, Chair, she will be able to respond to the call. the Minister of Finance is missing. One is that you see, we operate more business, not like a state in organ, but we are putting in place for a department with the IT. Because if you look at those budgets that have been presented and how confident talking about things are in process and all of that, government every day enter into a number of, you know, bilaterals with China, maybe Japan, maybe whoever. And I don't hear anything that says that, you know, on the basis of government engagement with the Chinese government on IT, this is what we can acquire, you know, the help from China, for example, or from Cuba, for example, to help us upgrade our system. I don't hear saying that. The only thing that I had a problem with, many of them, is the manner in which state money is spent on IT. And that is money that Honorable Analyst was raising earlier, that money that is meant to build houses for our people. They're not being proactive here. We just follow the system, it's fine, go for 10 times, 100 million, it's okay. But we're not looking at what is it that government is trying to open up. For FIFA in particular, which is funding, to come in and help government work, you know. And I want to get a response from that point. As one of the position officers in making sure that we're able to assist government. Understanding your money.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Member. I believe and I need to strongly mention that from a FIFA point of view, after the discussions that I mentioned earlier on 2 weeks back with the Minister of Public Service and Administration, we're taking into serious consideration the value for money and the cost effectiveness in terms of allowing government to do business. There are areas that we've identified which include also bulk buying, negotiating to the last possible price you could get out there in the market. Those are the elements that we've already, at the moment, committed to, and we identified areas and ways and means at which we can actually begin to change and revamp the way we used to do business and to actually concentrate on a way that we can confidently sit back and say, we've actually saved government money. That is a topic that we enter into on a day-to-day basis. We've contacted in certain areas with the Minister of Public Service and Administration on that element, and I can assure the members that is one thing that we are looking at it on a day-to-day basis, and we are all, as senior ministers of the organization, contacted around that to ensure that it happens starting in this financial year. I would also like to continue to just add to the point that was asked earlier on of saying, if we pass the bill, are we ready to can implement? And maybe in short, I know Johan has already mentioned that, but I looked at it and we deliberated on it when we got the request, but in the fact that, yes, in terms of participating into the bill and coming to a point where we say this is the situation, that is another story. But to say from a technology point of view, CETA is ready, the capacity, the capability is there, and I'm sure what is mainly remaining would be the discussion and the negotiation that will result into the SLA formation, and that will govern the relationship in terms of how we implement the bill going forward. But I think from a technology point of view, I'm assured that we are ready as an organization, but the requirements that should be coming from different departments as part of what Johan has alluded to, according to the IGS board members. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the presentation. We take note of that. The presentation is ready. You know, this bill, which we are processing and correctly processing, and honorable member has said, this intention is to see the integration of the justice system. That is its intention, which will enable all of us to fight crime even more effectively. And I should think we should never forget that.
I think I agree with the view that says we definitely need to have a task team that is going to look into the implementation. And therefore, that as you all said, even before the end of today, this must be communicated, because this is what we are going to be trying to appear, in fact, to court to appear before the portfolio committee next week. And that task team indeed should include yourself as staff, your home affairs, your transport, CTAC, UCS, justice, and any other department you might think is relevant in the implementation of this thing. Because you already have a draft, I think it is easy, it will be very easy for you to move forward from where you are now, to move forward and therefore be able to come back to speech to make a presentation. Something that is integrated, that talks to all the affected departments, not staff talking this language and sitting here responding to staff here in Parliament and not elsewhere. Because it can't be that you sit and listen to the document presented and staff as itself, you can actually see that he is responding for the first time to what staff is saying here, because he hears it here and not elsewhere. Now, it can't be like that. So we'll be calling you back to appear before the portfolio committee, but it will be because a task team, as I said, has been formed and it has looked into the implementation plan, and the implementation plan talks to everybody. I sit here with all the budget that you talked about, not aware or not knowing as to whether correctional services in the implementation of this bill will also have to have its own budget. I don't know whether this takes into cognizance of all the affected departments. I don't know. So I want to be assured when you come back here that this bill can be implemented. The unfortunate thing about it is that there is no way we can stop processing this bill, because it talks to some of the issues and challenges that I want to believe this committee has been raising, the disintegration of the old system. So we want to address that in passing this plan. And it is here in Parliament now. We have heard you talking. We have taken note of what you have said here, but we want you to go and do a thorough way, and we'll be calling you back to come next week. So you have today until next week, and probably as early as Tuesday. But I'm saying that because it's possible, because you already have a draft. You can discuss from the level of the draft and just want to address something that can assist all of us. I just want to emphasize the fact that in future I should think it will also be necessary for the portfolio committee to invite the affected department to come and brief us on the progress made on the review of the criminal justice, so that maybe as a portfolio committee, in fact, it would have been very correct if it was a class. But in the absence of that, if there are challenges because we have our own program, we might have to consider that in the near future. Because indeed, that is important in the point that we have, and we have direct interest in the portfolio committee in that one. I also want to mention the fact that the splitting of this thing should never be seen as meaning that somebody can work somewhere in a corner and do what else. It is still the same bill. Nothing much has changed in the content of that bill. It's still the same bill that was presented here. All that we've done is to say for now the DNA must wait. We are going ahead with the fingerprints and this and that, because it seems to be easier. There aren't constitutional challenges on that aspect of the bill. So I just want to mention that and to thank everybody for participating. Thank members for asking questions, for the observations. Thank those that have come here. I just want to also mention that I really think that Parliament is an important institution.
and it cannot be that we have senior officials coming to appear before the conference committee. And when we ask questions, they can't respond. You may as well accept this consent to whoever said this. This is one thing we think we cannot take anything. It is frustrating us, it is wasting our time, it is wasting your time. I would take the issue as raised by this individual. Sometimes you think there is some way, a point that people might want to make, that somebody or somewhere they say it's coming to be not here.
Yeah.
It can't be like that. I will always fail to understand that why people coming from the same department will come and contradict each other. Whether it is a person who says yes or a person who says no, why should that happen here in front of the people? I would fail to understand. It's going to take me years, maybe it, until I die, I will completely fail to do. Because for me, it says there is a deliberate intention to fail to act. I want to thank you very much for appearing before the conference.
Thank you.